Welcome to episode number 39 of the Electrical Estimator Podcast. I'm your host, Ken Dickerson. Today, we're going to climb into one of the most complex and fascinating areas of our trade, estimating electrical work for high-rise buildings. If you've ever driven through a major city and looked up at the skyline, every one of those towers is a masterpiece of engineering, construction coordination, and planning. But before a single light shines or an elevator moves, somebody had to figure out what it was all going to cost. That's where the electrical estimator comes in. High-rise projects are unlike anything else you'll estimate. They're vertical cities, self-contained environments with power, lighting, communication, security, fire protection, elevators, mechanical systems, and life safety networks, all stacked one on top of another. Estimating them takes patience, precision, and the ability to visualize the project from the bottom of the foundation to the top of the penthouse. Let's start with the basics. What makes high-rise estimating so different? The short answer is scale and sequence. Everything in a tall building is multiplied. More panels, more feeders, more distribution rooms, more lighting circuits, and more coordination. But beyond quantity, the real challenge is how all of those systems interact vertically. You're not just laying out one floor. You're tying together dozens of floors through risers, bus ducts, and vertical shafts that deliver power and communication from the main service to every level of the building. The first step in estimating a high-rise project is understanding the electrical backbone, how power flows through the building. Start with the service entrance and trace it through the main switchgear, distribution panels, bus ducts, transformers, and feeders that rise through the core. The one-line diagram is your roadmap, and you need to study it until you can visualize every path. On high-rise projects, those vertical pathways, the risers, are your lifelines. They carry power, communication, and control from the bottom to the top. Each one needs careful attention because a single miscalculated length or conduit size can cost thousands of dollars. When you review the drawings, mark every riser location and identify what's in each shaft. You might have separate risers for lighting, power, fire alarm, data, and emergency circuits. Determine which ones are being installed in the same space and which need their own pathways. Coordination in these areas is critical. In a high rise, there's only so much real estate in the core, and every trade wants a piece of it. As the estimator, you need to think ahead and include the labor and material for supports, sleeves, fire stopping, and access. Material handling is another major consideration. Moving materials vertically takes more time, equipment, and planning. On a single-story warehouse, your crew can unload conduit and cable straight off the truck. On the 50th floor of a high-rise, it's a different story. You're dealing with elevators, hoists, staging areas, and limited access. Estimators must include labor factors for vertical transport, crane time, and staging. Every lift, every material delivery, and every load of conduit must travel up and down the building, and that time adds up fast. Labor productivity is different too. Crews working on upper floors lose time moving between levels, waiting for lifts, and navigating congested areas. Weather can also affect productivity on open floors near the top. Estimators must apply realistic labor adjustments for height, congestion, and access. A high-rise project is not a wide-open slab where you can roll lifts from one end to the other. It's a series of small, evolving work zones stacked on top of each other, often with limited storage. Next, let's talk about the power distribution rooms. Each floor or group of floors will usually have electrical rooms containing panel boards, transformers, or bus taps. When estimating, count these rooms carefully. Note the size, type, and quantity of equipment in each. Don't forget about ventilation, clearance, and coordination space. Each room means feeders up and down, branch circuits out to the floor, grounding, and sometimes dedicated lighting or convenience outlets. These rooms are the heart of the electrical system, and their labor and material costs add up quickly across multiple floors. Lighting systems in high-rises can be extensive. You'll typically have core and shell lighting for lobbies, elevators, stairwells, and restrooms, followed by tenant fit-outs or custom spaces. The trick here is recognizing what's part of the base building and what's part of future tenant work. Many high-rise projects are designed with empty floors that will be finished later by other contractors. Make sure you understand where your scope ends. If you include tenant lighting by mistake, you could overprice your bid. If you leave it out when it's your responsibility, you'll be working for free. Emergency and life safety systems are another critical part of the estimate. High-rise buildings must meet strict codes for fire alarm, emergency power, and egress lighting. These systems often require dedicated risers, transfer switches, and generator connections. Review the emergency one line separately from the normal power system. Verify how emergency power is distributed and what loads are connected. Hospitals, hotels, and residential towers all have different requirements, so read the specifications carefully. Fire alarm, in particular, demands special attention. Large buildings mean long wire runs, more devices, and more testing. Be sure to include labor for device layout, programming, and coordination with other systems. Many high-rises integrate fire alarm with smoke control, elevator recall, and security. Estimating those interconnections requires experience. If you're unsure, reach out to the engineer or fire alarm vendor for clarification before the bid. Coordination with the mechanical and structural trades is another challenge. In high-rises, mechanical and electrical systems often share shafts, ceilings, and utility spaces. Large conduits may have to route around ductwork or steel beams, and that can change lengths and fittings. Estimators, who assume perfect conditions, will underestimate the job. Always allow for extra fittings, offsets, and time to work around other trades. Coordination meetings and 3D modeling may be required, so include hours for that administrative work. Let's talk about feeders and bus ducts. These are the veins of a high-rise electrical system. Feeders can run hundreds of feet vertically, often in groups of parallel conductors. Bus ducts, on the other hand, provide a clean, compact way to distribute power between floors. Both require careful measurement and pricing. When you take off feeders, use scaled riser drawings if available, or estimate lengths by floor height and number of levels. Don't forget vertical clearances and routing changes at mezzanines or mechanical floors. Bus duct installation requires coordination with structural steel and floor penetrations, so include layout and rigging time. Grounding and bonding in tall buildings is another area that's easy to overlook. The National Electrical Code requires a continuous grounding path from the service to the farthest panel, including all metallic raceways, risers, and equipment. On a high rise, that can mean miles of copper conductor. Ground rings, building steel bonds, and lightning protection systems add even more material and labor. Grounding may seem small, but it's one of those things that can quietly blow up your budget if you underestimate it. Elevator systems also play a role in your estimate. Each elevator requires dedicated feeders, disconnects, control wiring, and sometimes machine room lighting or HVAC power. Be sure to check the elevator contractor's scope. Some provide only equipment, leaving the electrical connections to you. Include all raceways and terminations unless the specifications clearly exclude them. Let me share a story from my own experience. Years ago, I estimated a 45-story hotel project. The design included two main switchboards, six distribution panels, and more than 20 electrical rooms. The drawings looked complete, but as I traced the riser diagram, I realized the engineer hadn't shown any feeders for the mechanical penthouse. It was one of those assumed areas that everyone overlooked. We sent an RFI before the bid and confirmed that the electrical contractor was responsible. That one question added hundreds of feet of conduit and several large conductors to the estimate. If we hadn't asked, we would have lost money from day one. That experience taught me something simple but powerful. On high-rise projects, never assume. Always verify every connection, every riser, and every load. Now let's talk about scheduling and sequencing. High-rise projects are built from the bottom up, but electrical systems are often installed from the top down. Crews typically rough in the upper floors first, while finishing lower levels later. Estimators need to consider how that affects manpower, staging, and supervision. You might need multiple crews working in different zones at once. That means more supervision, more tools, and more temporary power. Include those costs in your estimate. Temporary power itself is a major item. High rises need temporary feeders, panels, and lighting as construction climbs higher. Often the permanent switchgear is used to feed temporary panels. Plan for that in your estimate. Include wiring, disconnects, and time for relocation as the job progresses. Temporary systems are easy to overlook, but they can add thousands of dollars in labor and material. Safety and access also affect cost. Working at height requires fall protection, lifts, scaffolding, and training. Hoisting heavy materials hundreds of feet into the air adds risk and time. Estimators should always include safety equipment and labor factors for elevated work. Documentation is another big one. Large high-rise projects generate a mountain of paperwork. Submittals, coordination drawings, inspection reports, and as-builts. That means more project management and administrative labor. Include those hours in your estimate. Technology plays a growing role too. Many high-rises now feature smart building systems, automated lighting, and energy monitoring controls. Each of those adds low-voltage wiring, terminations, and coordination. Don't just assume the base lighting system is standard. Review the specifications, pay students carefully for controls, sensors, and networking. As we wrap up, let's talk about mindset. Estimating a high-rise building can feel overwhelming the first time you do it. There are so many moving parts that it's easy to lose track. The key is to stay organized. Break the project down by system and by floor. Start with the service and distribution, then move to feeders, branch circuits, lighting, and low voltage. Keep your drawings marked up and your notes detailed. When you finish, review your work from top to bottom. Literally. Estimating high-rise projects isn't just about numbers. It's about vision. You're building something massive before anyone else can see it. You're the first person who truly understands how power will flow through that building. That's a responsibility worth taking seriously. Thank you for listening to the iBid Electric podcast. Estimating electrical work for high-rise buildings is not for the faint of heart, but it's one of the most rewarding challenges in our field. When you get it right, you're not just pricing a job, you're powering a skyline.